can.
It is a good can crack.
It's a good can crack. We're drinking High Noons. Maybe not the first. No puns for the High Noon. But we're out of beer. I'm scrambling. And here we go. We have it a High Noon and cheers to the wind down of the college football season. We're playing playoff games whenever we want, apparently.
Yeah, whatever day of the week.
Frankly, we're playing playoff games whenever the NFL allows us.
Yes, no, totally.
Fuckers. Which,
by the way, I'm now boycotting NFL games on Saturdays because I went to the Niners Seahawks game and
that was bad.
Hated it. Hated every. I mean, I loved it. I went with my mom. It was wonderful. That was a fun time, but I hated the loss part. And also one particular Seahawks fan, by the way.
Yes. Why? What was wrong with him? The or her?
Seahawks. Oh, just being completely obnoxious the entire time.
You know, I don't know. This is more of a West Coast fandom thing. I know, like, Raiders fans and Dodgers. Like, everybody has their reputation. I could see Seahawks fans being assholes.
Yeah, it's more just, like, the... One, like, it's a rivalry game. We could dive into this another time. This is definitely, like, an off-season thing of, like, the fan fights at NFL stadiums and how...
Ranking shitty control. Fan bases. Yeah, I mean...
Or also just, like, how out of... Like, there is not anything in the world that would make me hit another person. Like, they can't say anything that I would hit them, no matter how drunk about my team. Like, okay, that... Let me just say this. There was also a 49er fan that I was more pissed at because she was yelling at other 49er fans who were trying to... Like, they were, like, making noise during when the Seahawks were on offense and we were on defense, obviously. And so they were just, like, yelling to try to make noise. And the lady's like, stop, stop. She's, like, covering her ears. And she's like, that doesn't help. I'm like, lady, you are at the wrong place if you don't want noise. Also, she spent the entire game tapping the fans in front of her, telling them to sit down.
Oh, man. We don't need cheering at football games. But the problem is bad. I noticed that the Jets are coming to visit the Bears next year, right? And it's going to be a sad football game for the Jets still, and hopefully Dante Moore is quarterback and all those things. And I was thinking about that. Man, this would be a lot of fun when they play to take the kids and go. They've been dying to go see the Jets. I am genuinely concerned. We're not helicopter parents. They're going to hear things. But having been at football games, like, they get hairy. Like, it's sad
There's
that you have to worry
fights.
About that shit. Yeah, I
There's
don't want
a lot of fights. I don't know. It just feels a little strange to me. Also, like, in the era that we're in with social media, like, I had it in me to, you know, fight someone over something they said about my team, I would definitely think twice because, like, your job's on the line. Like, no matter what job you do, that goes viral, you're done.
Yeah, and everybody's recording it. Now, all that being said, NFL fans have lost their mind. The transfer portal has lost its mind.
Weird.
All right. Can I make a guilty admission here?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I think it's dumb. And I don't think it's a good way to do this, but the content is tremendous. It is tremendous content.
So, yes, because there's just so many opinions. And also, like, there's just so many fan... Like, the loyalty aspect of this is also so funny. Like, fan bases genuinely being upset that, like, players aren't loyal to them just for the sake of being loyal to them. And, like... Coaches have been leaving jobs for years for more money. And it's like, yeah, sure, you've been mad at them for a little bit, but you embrace your new coach and whatever. This is like insanity.
Well, it's funny, right? So it hits closest to home when, like, one of your players of your team leaves.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, Iowa had one of their all Big Ten defensive backs enter the transfer portal. And I follow a lot of Iowa people for content purposes. They're like, this is what's wrong with the portal. He was a team captain, goddammit. He loved it here.
That's
and
what
it's
I mean.
Like,
that's
it's so like, funny. buddy, like, cash, money, get that back. Like, but like, and so I think people are, like, trying to justify it. Like, these kids are just looking for you know, you've got kids going from Texas to Oklahoma. Like we saw wide receivers get $800,000. That's why. Like Texas is pushing them out. 800 grand to go to your rival. Like that is the good shit right there, Paige. So I understand why it's not healthy or productive, but this is making the sport more popular. It is. What is happening before our eyes at Ole Miss and Miami are like living, breathing proof of why this is, I'm not going to say good for college football. I don't know if I'm ready to say that, but why this is going to drive popularity through the roof, which is already on that trajectory.
So what I will say about this is actually something that you mentioned to me when we were just chatting on the phone the other day, was that this sport is year-round now. Like, this makes college football, like, normally during this time of year, we actually don't care about some of these other programs. We care about the two teams that are, or the four teams that are left, excuse me, or who's still in it, or, like, the, you know, maybe select few people that were transferring. And now it is just going to be, and this chaos is going to continue through the offseason, by the way, because a lot of this is not going to get resolved. We also, the schedule is going to change. We don't know what the playoff looks like. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen after the national championship that's going to keep this ball rolling. And I think, to your point, a little bit of this change and the fact that it's just not going perfectly every time we make one is, and I say we as like a collective of like college football, it's making for good content. It is. And that's okay to acknowledge that, like, hey, yeah, this is not great for the sport, and like it's incredibly volatile in terms of like market, money, how loopholes, like all the above. However, it is kind of funny to watch on the internet a little bit.
And it's just changing a lot. I read a story Dan Wetzel posted for ESPN about how the SEC, this is clobbering the SEC's very robust reputation. It's true. When you look at recruiting rankings and you look at like the difference between 1 and 5 and the difference between like 1 and 20 5 years ago, which is it now, it's shrank. And I know that's recruiting versus portal, but money has leveled the playing field. Every time I go to fucking TweetDeck, Texas Tech is signing someone and rebuilding a defense and getting their quarterback. On the flip side, we got to talk about some of the negatives.
The really bad parts. Let me just also give a shout out to Ross Dellinger, because if you want to know like what is actually happening in like facts and reported like on the roots on the ground, like our boots on the ground, excuse me, that is the guy you need to be looking at his reporting. Like, we're not claiming to be reporters on this stuff, but some of the stuff that Ross is getting and also explaining, to understand big picture, it's so good to follow some of that stuff. And I think a lot, by the way, this past summer, I did a lot of diving into some of like the legal parts of this and the not so like pretty stuff to focus on. And it's certainly been useful this whole year watching sort of all this unfold. You can kind of see what's happening before it happens if you pay attention to the legal aspect of all of this. But yeah, there's some pretty ugly stuff going on.
So, neighbor Jason and I, we were talking about Kenny Minchie at Nebraska. You know, he was in that race with CJ Carr. Let's like, the vibes are good. And then poof, gone. Right. And goes to Kentucky. And then of course, now they go to UNLV. We've got a situation in Washington now where, you know, they're starting quarterback.
Demond Williams.
Williams. And we've got like a legal battle brewing here as well.
Yes.
So make sure the lawyers are involved. I would say
this. Let's start with the Washington situation, because that one is obviously the most significant, because it involves the fact that he signed a revenue sharing deal with them and a few days later decided that he was going to be offered a couple more million to go somewhere else. And there's been so much backlash. One, they're refusing to put his name in the transfer portal because of this, okay? A lot of people are like, why would you do that? Why would you want, you know, a quarterback on your team that's, you know, not going to want to play there, all these things. Listen, he is not going to play there next year. That's not the point of all this legal aspect of it. It's that, and people thought, oh, we have rev share. That's going to keep people there. It's going to, you know, avoid the transfer portal being out of control. And that's not it. That's just like, it's slowing, it's changing the process. It wasn't fixing it completely. And look, there, he could literally drop out of school at Washington and enroll at LSU, and this would be fixed, and he could play there, and the legal process will do what it needs to do while he's playing somewhere else and getting paid somewhere else. That's the nature of this. That's probably what's going to happen, but they have to make a statement about this and be like, hey, this can't happen, because again, there has to be some form of legally binding aspect to this. However, it's everyone above them's fault, because you're still trying to make them student athletes. You are not viewing them as, this is their profession, so they can act like student athletes, not professionals. That is where the problem lies. If you want to treat them like professionals, then we will treat them like we treat the NFL and contracts and how long you are at, you have to play somewhere. That has to change. And until, you know, the NCAA and, you know, all the powers that be let go of that and stop trying to pretend like this is not what we're doing here, this is going to be a problem. There's going to be issues. There's no fix to this without that. Like, that's my personal opinion, is like, there's just no way to make this focusing on the fact that these are just student athletes and they're amateurs and all of those things. Like, that is just not how this is going to go when there's money involved and contracts involved. Sorry, it's just not how it's going to work.
Yeah, I do think the sport, it's not even at a crossroads. We like jumped over the fence and we're just running freely here in an open field. And I you know, the most interesting part now, I think, of managing a program, I'd love to see spend a week with like the general manager and that staff, and assembling this and the fundraising elements, and where this is all the stuff that's legal. We're talking about all the loopholes with the marketing contracts and all these things.
The NIL contract, yeah, it's crazy.
But I think it's fascinating, because this is running a program now. You really need to have the, you know, the financial component.
You need a front office.
You need a front office. Like, recruiting has changed. The portal has changed. Roster management, what a fucking mess. I just look it through, like, just the number of transfers. So, like, you know, Auburn, I think, had like 33 players enter the transfer portal, right? Oh my God. Like, new coach, welcome aboard. Here you go. Build a roster. Like, and trying to make it all come together, I think it's just, they
you
make know, a lot.
Know that you have to, and all the expectations of like make, spring ball, and like, it's just stupid. It's to fit in the school calendar. Like,
yeah. And so, yes, they make a lot of money. Great. And if they get fired, they're comfortable for life. But I think still there's some a deep appreciation for what has to go into running a college football program now.
Yeah.
So it's wild.
I think people thought the change in the House versus NCAA settlement, the revenue sharing, and NIL third party evaluating NIL deals was going to sort of slow the transfer portal down and also slow the market down a bit, and like say, hey, whoa, we're not going to overspend or do whatever. And again, if there is a loophole in any sport in the entire world, college football is known for using its loopholes to make things happen. And yes, that was happening when, you know, people were just simply applying to transfer. But, like, eligibility stuff, too, what are we doing? I mean, it's a lot. So, are there any specific transfers that you are like, hey, bad fit, good fit, could do without, think this is just about the money?
I really like Sorsby at Texas Tech. And I thought, you know, it was funny. I was seeing some people like, wow, look at his numbers. Look how he played. You know, and part of this is just watching Texas Tech offensively, like, shit the bed.
Oh my God.
Horrendously.
Aaron Morton. I'm so sorry, buddy.
I know. It wasn't his day.
My heart broke for him because also, like, having watched them all year and then people who just watched them then, that was heartbreaking to watch.
So part of me, you know, I just like the fit. Like, it's Sorsby is fun, productive, and I think the talent level around him is going to be so much higher.
Yes.
That they're going to be an overwhelming favorite to win that conference. And BYU should still be pretty good, assuming they get back a lot of their pieces. You know, as we're seeing the other quarterbacks, like where they fall, Levitt, you know, others, that was one to me that just naturally felt good, right? And then the one that didn't happen, you know, Bryce Underwood staying in Michigan. I mean, again, I'd love to see the contract, and maybe he was incentivized not to leave, right? That Oracle money. But I think, you know, get what he can. He brings in a really respected OC who's made every quarterback look good. I think Underwood had to at least look around,
yeah,
and take inventory. And then I love that he stayed. I think that fit of an OC who's going to use his legs. And I just think that his game next year, that is someone I will be betting to win the Heisman next
year. Yeah. Also, I will say, I think the other part of it is understanding that sometimes not using some of the loopholes in, say, his contract or whatever to get out of that and go somewhere else is not worth the attention, is not worth the effort of that when you do have a good thing going where you are. And I think that's where some quarterbacks, I think, are going to view it that way. And a place like Michigan is unique because of the fact that, like, one, the money is there. Two, you have a new coach. It's a fresh start. There's a lot of things that help him, and also you're at Michigan. Yeah. So it's not like you're at a smaller school where you're not making the college football playoff or playing for a national championship. The one I really, really like that I was surprised happened was Josh Hoover to Indiana.
Yeah. He's...
I mean, I mentioned it last time. Tennessee wanted him bad. Like, they were willing to do whatever it took to get him to Tennessee last year.
I think it's perfect fit for Hoover, who's got NFL tools, but sometimes loses his mind on the football field. I do think he will drive Kurt Cignetti crazy at times.
Yeah.
Because everything we've seen, and Mendoza admittedly was somewhat similar, right? Like, for Hoover, this is, I think it's an awesome destination. And they get Marsh as well. Like,
that was huge. I did not think that would come in.
Yeah. So Nick Marsh, I mean, that's great. So
I thought Lane was going to get him for sure.
I did as well. So I think that's a great call. Like, I did not see that one coming, and I absolutely love it. No, this shit is fun.
It's, well, also shout out Mark Cuban, who is giving more money to Indiana. And that's, I mean, something that we obviously will get to is talking about the games this week, and the fact that, like, Indiana is still in this. Indiana could seriously win a national championship. That's, like, in football is, like, still crazy. And then this is the part that, to your point about the article earlier, like, things are shifting. It's just going to take some time. Like, we're getting there. We're getting there where it could be a more regular thing, that it's not just the teams that we've seen winning national championships in college football. So I'm excited about that.
Did you see the, switching gears slightly, did you see the ratings for, well, all football games, but like the non-playoff bowls? Like, the Pop-Tart Bowl is essentially outdrawing the NBA Finals, right? Like, have you seen, like, it is wild.
No.
And no one should
be
shocked.
Well, it's funny because everyone was talking about bowls being dead.
You know, like, I saw that, like, Michigan and Texas had 9.1 million viewers, right? The Pop-Tart Bowl, 8.7 million people watched BYU play Georgia Tech. Okay, so I get Texas, Michigan, because huge fan bases. 8.7 million people watched a Pop-Tart ad, and a great football game, by the way. Pinstripe Bowl, shittiest football game. Penn State clubs at 7.6 million. Gator Bowl, Virginia and Missouri, like 6 million people watch. So now what does this tell me? For one, people like gambling. That's what they love to do. They like to gamble. And two, we talked about the bowl season dying. No, bowl season is not dying. I think the bowl season has to find ways to incentivize, right? And look, you're going to live in the portal no matter what. So you've got rosters that are diminished, but like, people want to see this shit.
Honestly, I'm being so for real. If the portal is during the season next year, during bowl season and playoff season, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Well, and you'll have people opting out and doing that shit anyways. But like,
also, if we have an early signing day, sorry, no, that's not related to bowls. If we have an early signing day this year, I'm going to be pissed. I'm not going to lie to you. That shit is so stupid. Like, in terms of roster management, like, why are we doing this?
It's very dumb. The sport does some very dumb things. But the ratings for both, and then the playoff games were up like 15%.
Yeah.
Like, football is, the business of college football is doing great.
Yeah.
It's doing great. All right. Before we talk about games, we should probably do a quick, Go ahead.
We're not talking about our specific team builds.
I'm happy to talk about mine.
I'm not doing that. So you
mainly I just want to talk about Alabama being absolutely fucking hammered in, and I thought they would compete. I talked to a lot of my friends and they were like, no, Alabama's going to get crushed. And I was like, really? I just didn't see it. Well, they 38-3. I mean, Paige, we are a pro-Alabama podcast. Alabama spent a lot of time there. We've covered a lot of the players, Nick Saban, all the elements. Over time, Alabama has just been an amazing program to cover.
Yeah.
This was, it remains shocking. Like, this, and now Ty Simpson is gone, which I don't know if Alabama's going to be totally pissed about. Actually, watching Austin Mack, their quarterback, play it, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Granted, it was like a fucking 1-0. So what are your takeaways from Alabama?
I mean, it's abundantly clear that, right. Look, I think Kalen DeBoer is a great coach. I think he needs to change up his staff.
Yes.
I mean this in the nicest way possible, but sometimes you can definitely take guys with you where you go, and you should. Guys that know how you want to run your program and you can trust them to run the program the way that you want to.
Yeah.
However, Alabama is a different level. That is a different level, and you are able to not only afford the best of the best in terms of coordinators and position coaches, people want to come there to coach.
Yes.
So that to me is the biggest area of concern, because it's like, clearly something is not working. And in order for Kalen DeBoer, and I know he can do it, I believe in him, there's going to have to be some adjustments on his staff and how they maybe go about running the program a bit. Not like a full overhaul, but just a change in some capacity. You also have the best resource you could possibly imagine at your fingertips. I completely understand wanting to distance yourself from Saban. It is a new era. You don't want to do things just like him. There's
But that's past now, I feel like. I feel like...
Not when he has an office in the building.
No, I actually think
and
now...
And also when you're losing in the playoff.
When I'm agreeing with you, talk to him. Like, at first, it's like, make the program yours. Don't have Saban too involved. But now...
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, I thought you were there's specific things that you've seen. Now running this program, you can go to him and say, what would you do differently in this? This is what's not working for us. We've identified this as something that's not working. What would you do now?
Pay people under the table.
Pay people more money.
Go back to the roots of getting people cars.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
I mean, hey, dealership connections. You never know.
Using your connections to get people automobiles.
Yes.
And that's not just the Alabama way. That was the every way.
But I think that's my thing with Alabama, is that I think Kalen DeBoer, kids want to come play there. guys want to come play at Alabama, it's still Alabama. I think that's just the part that it's like, hey, we've now done it your way. And I know obviously there was change of coordinators. I'm not saying that he's stuck with the same staff the whole time he's been in Alabama, but I'm just saying there's bits of it where you could get the best of the best. Like, you can afford it, and the allure of coming to coach at Alabama is there. You can do that, and you should do that. And if you don't, you're going to get your ass fired, unfortunately.
Like, running to be as anemic as they were running the fucking football, I don't give a shit. Like, hold on, where did they finish up rushing offense? Let's just do a quick CFP stats. They were 125th in the country in rushing offense. I'm sorry. They're not, like, this isn't like the high power Texas Tech of old where you're just throwing the ball over the field. Now, they did land Smothers, a really good back in the portal. I did like that. They've done some good things in the portal. They've lost some players, but they've done some good things. But, we don't have to talk about Alabama for a while. It's just that has stuck with me. And
do want to ask you about Texas Tech a little bit because, again, also kind of an embarrassing showing from them. And I think you and I both have really harped at, like, stop viewing them as a Big 12 team that's just going to get beat up in the playoff.
Yeah, this didn't help.
This did not help at all. But I think from your perspective watching that game, what would be the difference maker? Do you think it is simply quarterback? I mean, I don't know that was the only issue with their game.
Offensive line was bad, and it never really had to be good.
Yeah.
Oregon, it's a weird game because I'm struggling to figure out how to feel about Oregon.
Same. Coming out of this game. Defensively, that's like a huge, and we did a preview for these games, and like that's something that like really sticks out to me. Like I said to you in that preview, like these are both national championship caliber teams. Like the way that they played defensively against Texas Tech, they could very much beat Indiana. I don't think they're going to. They could. They're just running up against. They could win. If they play either of the other teams in this, they're winning. I would pick them to win by 2 scores, probably.
By the way, Texas Tech limited Oregon 47 rushes for 64 yards.
Which, that's insanity. Also, knowing that Oregon had one of the best rushing offenses the last,
47. I've never seen anything like that. In fact, it's the first time I'm seeing that in full. Dante Moore, 234 yards and an interception. I mean, what was the time of possession in this game? It felt staggering. Yes, 38 minutes to 22 minutes, right? Yeah. That's absurd. So,
Texas Tech offense could literally do nothing. And to Baron Morton's, I guess, credit, they did try to adjust and just start getting it out quick and trying to do something different, but it was too late. And it was just,
the offensive line was bad. Morton always felt a little bit like potentially the missing piece because but Sorsby, you add in a quarterback now that can run. I think it's like truly, but it, no, this is a knock. Now, good for Texas Tech, great season, turning point, and now they're fucking loading up again.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
But it was truly embarrassing. I was actually depressed. I full disclosure, we got home from the indoor water park. I'm watching this game. I'm writing that day. We're writing that day. And in the basement, my kids weren't home. I was tired, depressed about the week starting to end. Knew it was going to be a long day working, but college football, hooray. I put on Stranger Things on the middle TV and this on the small TV without sound. And once you knew how this game was going to go, probably like 7 minutes in.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, I'm so sorry. We are skipping over the fact that Miami beat Ohio State. I just kind of want to.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is good. These are the two. Yeah.
We talked about Alabama. Obviously, we talked about Texas Tech. As someone who is, obviously we were very high on this Ohio State team, there was a conversation all year long about, okay, are we just not paying enough attention to them? Is this a team that's just going to head back to the national championship? All those things. Do you I guess it's hard to answer this a little bit. Do you view it as more of like a credit to Miami and where they're at and how they're playing at this moment in time in the season, or to something that maybe Ohio State just wasn't prepared for?
Both, actually. Yeah. It's a great question.
Well, I mean, again,
Julian saying like, for the first time all year, well, the first time since the Texas game, looked not up for the challenge. Even against Indiana, I thought there were times when he made some really good plays.
Yeah.
Now, he threw for 287 yards and a touchdown. You know, and here's the other problem, and it's kind of the Alabama thing. Ohio State, 24 rushes for 45 yards. So, at Miami now, on the flip side, averaged over 4 yards a carry against a really good, one of the best Ohio State rush defenses. Carson Beck was a game manager, and their defensive line was fucking terrifying. I mean,
yeah.
I would give Miami more credit than I would hit on Ohio State. I think Julian Sain was shook. I think the Miami defensive line is now such a fascinating matchup between them against Chambliss. Like, that is the coolest X's and O's shit we have going here. We get
already.
And then Mark Fletcher is becoming like the story of the playoff. Like, it's a guy that ran well, and he's been just a fucking, like, this has been the dude. He's just,
yeah.
So it's, but I don't know. Like, it was a weird game. Again, the other weird stat, and I don't have his like exact numbers. When Jeremiah Smith goes off, Ohio State actually doesn't always play well. Like,
yeah.
Indiana, right? Like he had 7 catches for 157 yards. So when they run into deep, deep shit, they're like, where the fuck is Jeremiah Smith?
Yeah.
So in the last 2 losses, 13-10 loss to Indiana, 8 catches, 144 yards, 7 catches, 157 yards, and they scored 24 points combined those 2 games. Like, something isn't quite meshing there. But they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They'll be back. Saying Jeremiah Smith, I saw Carnell Tate's call, not shocking. They had been loading that, you know, they've got Chris Henry coming in. They got all sorts of shit coming up. But it was, I was blown away by that. I'm sure you were too.
Yes. And then I don't know that we have to talk really about Ole Miss, Georgia, because we're going to talk, mostly my talking points are about Ole Miss, and that we're going to get to in the,
let's do it,
the playoff, the semifinals, which feels so crazy that it's January 7th that we're playing the semifinals. Shout out Dan Lanning, by the way. Did you see the BRCFB? Also shout out them, because I love them. The breakdown of like what he thinks should happen. I love Dan Lanning. I'm so sorry. I hate that I'm picking against him. Spoiler, but I love him. Like, he's so good for college football. So is Kurt Cignetti. They're both great for college football. Like, just the best people.
Can we also just say in general, I thought the coaches kind of lost their minds in the quarters. I thought Lanning coached a really bad game. No, they won. A little too reckless. Going for it too much. Kirby had himself a fucking shitty ass game. Texas Tech was just bad. I think the coaches need to chill a little bit. Cignetti has, so we have 4 coaches left, right?
Yes.
Pete Golding didn't get the field goal off in the end of the first half. Like, there's some shit coaching going on. Mario Cristobal, miraculously, was perfect, right? So we've got Cignetti, Pete Golding. We've got Mario Cristobal, and we have Dan Lanning. So, I mean, it's pretty easy ranking here. You'd go, what, Cignetti, Lanning, Cristobal, Golding?
Yeah. However, I would give Golding some serious credit in terms of coaching.
100%.
In general, program-wise, this is pretty impressive.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, it's like the baseball wild card, where you get that team whose pitching staff is fucking exhausted. They needed to grind out like 5 or 4 wins in the last week. They get in and they're just riding this weird momentum. And like, he's done an incredible job. And like the Charlie Weiss Jr., like, I mean, this is just his life right now. I can't even imagine living his life, because it sounds like he's been private jet, which living on the private jets pretty much exclusively here.
But so, also, like, maybe a little chess from Lane being like, hey, I need you to meet with these players and things.
Well, and they're LSU employees. Like, I don't even know.
We shouldn't be doing that. This shouldn't be a thing.
It's the whole situation is so fucked up. Lane is saying everything right publicly. He's supporting Chambliss. He's supporting Ole Miss. Like, he made his bed. That's over with. He's made, what, $750,000 from the fucking couch? It's awesome. I mean, so, all right, perfect segue. We've got two games. The first game, let's start, is Ole Miss versus Miami. We could do locks. We could do game breakdowns. Who do you have in this game? Actually, I believe we are on opposite sides.
Yeah, I had Ole Miss in this one, and it's literally just because of what you said. Like, this defies all football logic, by the way. Like, I'm fully aware that, like, on paper, X's and O's wise, this is, like, a dumb decision. However, I think that's the part that Ole Miss does well is when it goes to chaos, when it's Trinidad Chambliss, you know, creating out of nothing and giving himself time, like, that to me is where the magic is happening. And we haven't seen – Miami's been really good, obviously, managing quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks specifically this year, but it's a playoff. It's – you know, there's just – there's a vibe on that side of things that I just feel like you cannot go against. But I will say, I mean, I don't expect him to put up the numbers he put up against Georgia against this Miami defense.
Well, I just want to say I love this quarterback. He's got an interesting legal battle currently brewing, by the way, on the topic of waiver.
So what? It's so stupid to me that it would be weird to me if they actually granted it. Like, I understand wanting to stay and play, but to me, like, come on. We know this is like the, you know, the IM-12 for benchwarmers.
Yes.
Like, come on.
By the way, if he comes out, if he has to come out, like, this is not exactly a dazzling quarterback class.
No.
So people are going to look really closely at him and say, huh. Like, I mean, I would at least. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to remember what quarterback. I can't remember because it happens every year. The where they're not talking about somebody who plays for a smaller school. Not to say that Ole Miss is a smaller school, but it's not your usuals that you're getting quarterbacks from. And out of nowhere, someone was like, he might probably be the best. And it's like, oh no, here we go. The draft process on him would be actually very, I couldn't watch. I'd have to avert my eyes. It would be strange if they, I mean, what are they arguing the reasoning is?
I don't know. He missed the
full season. It's not anything that seems like noteworthy and like, oh, okay, sure, they'll let him play again. But yeah, we do have to cap eligibility unless we make this a professional league, then we don't have to, but.
Well, this could be his last game. Lacey, by the way, has signed for another year.
Which is
huge.
Awesome.
He is clearly hurt, by the way. You can see the way he's carrying the ball. He did fumble. I do worry about that because this is not going to be for the faint of the heart in the trenches.
No.
George is very good and obviously plays tough up front. Like, Reuben Bain leans on that fucking shoulder sideways, and it's out. He's going to be out.
Yeah.
It's a concern of mine. So, by the way, the spread in this one has stayed pretty consistent at 3.5. The total is 52.5. I like Miami. I have been shitting on Miami all season. You and I.
Both these teams are playing with house money, essentially.
Totally. And one of these two teams we're going to watch in the national championship. And I think that the 10 seed or the 6 seed. And get used to it, by the way. I don't think that's going to end. I think that won't be a yearly occurrence, but I think you're going to see more of that. So, I think Miami is going to play the same fucking game it's been playing. It's not exciting, but it's hugely successful. They're going to run the football. They're going to make your quarterback uncomfortable, and that's the game. Chambliss created magic. Can he do it against this front? He did it against Georgia. This front is better than Georgia by a lot. I think it's like the best defensive front. Indiana's is very good too, especially when fully healthy. Can he do that again? Because I think he's going to be under duress, and if Chambliss is magical again, they'll win. And if not, Miami is going to keep the ball out of his hands. They're going to lean on this defense. Ole Miss, can they stand up to the Miami offensive line? Can they stand up to the Miami defensive line? That's the game.
Yeah.
This one's
Once you win it in the trenches, you win the game. That's why it's like it's so silly to take Ole Miss, but I just think there's some chaos there.
Carson Beck is like game manager. Carson Beck is not what I expected to see ever at Miami. He's a $4 million quarterback and he is a game manager. Now he threw for 3,300 yards, but in the last two games, he's thrown for less than 250 yards combined. And it is the winning formula for this team. It's really odd, right? They're beating the shit out of teams. He threw the ball 32 times, 29 times, threw the ball 26 times against Ohio State, but for 138 yards. Woof. Do the thing. Play the exact same way they've been playing. I can't wait for this game.
Yeah.
Indiana versus Oregon. Sorry. The longer this week goes on, the more tempted I am. I've been a bet Oregon. The line was at 4. It's now down to 3.5. The total is at 48.5. Where I struggle, Paige, is we saw Oregon defense pitch shutout, but what does it mean? Indiana's a fucking wrecking ball on offense. It's not always flashy, although the big play is in there, but God, they are really well coached. They are fun to watch. Actually, if we're going to say this, what does it mean on – well, what does meeting the shit out of Alabama mean, by the way, right now too?
Yeah,
right? You know what I mean? So what do you think is going to happen here?
So I picked Indiana. I think Oregon certainly proved like their defense needs to play the way they played with a chip on their shoulder and like do the same thing you did to get up for Texas Tech for Indiana. And – the other part of this is that Indiana's defense in the red zone is insane. That's why, like, I think they held people to, like, scoring touchdowns 26% of the time. And, like, the thing is I think we disagreed with this on our preview, is, like, I think Oregon needs to score touchdowns. Like, you need to not leave this to, especially also watching NFL kicking and college kicking, like, let's score some touchdowns.
Agreed.
No extra point is guaranteed. No field goal is guaranteed. To beat Indiana, you have to be so aggressive. And I think Dan Lanning, that might have been part of why he was doing what he was doing versus Texas Tech, was because they're going to have to do that versus Indiana, because they have to do something different than they did last time. And you have to be super aggressive and be able to, as an offense, deal with the fact that it's not going to go your way most of the time, but you need it to break through every now and then when there's a mistake, and you can't give up the opportunity to score a touchdown in the red zone. Like, you really cannot. Don't settle for field goals.
So they played 3 months ago, 30-20. Weird game. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, it really didn't break open until the fourth.
No, I mean, there was like 400 yards of offense in this game. Both quarterbacks, interceptions. Mendoza threw a pick six. Neither team ran the ball very well.
It's also a really rainy game, wasn't it? Or am I misreading?
Yeah, no, it was. It was, no, I think you're right. Like, it was not, Surratt had a big game. And, you know, what's the state of Oregon's wide receiver? Like, there's a lot of, I don't know what this first game tells. It tells me both defenses are legit. I mean, Mendoza did not play particularly great in this game. Moore didn't play great either. Number one, number two picks in the draft, most likely, I hope. It's going to be fun. I lean Oregon in terms of bet. I think Indiana's going to win.
Yeah. I also will say one of Oregon's running backs entered the transfer portal.
I believe you're correct. I don't know who, though.
Jane Lemar?
He had three carries in their first game.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I think he had a pretty big run. But yeah, I will say that's not one, in terms of the sport, not great. But also, we were just talking about that that Oregon run game. Like, it's not surprising either that this is the case, but it's also weird that it's happening in this.
It's exciting. It's bizarre.
Yes.
It's bizarre.
What's unfortunate?
So, yeah, Thursday night game, Friday night game.
Throws me off completely. I just, my days and nights are thrown off. Everyone's like, New Year routine. I'm like, what routine? What routine? Yeah, also, by the way, I got hit with the plague. We can talk about that in random shit, but.
So what times are they? What time are these games at, too?
4:30 Pacific time.
4:30.
So 6:30 your time.
Thank you. Well, the God's time, you mean? Yes. 6:30 and 6:30 God's time. Which is fine. I actually appreciate the 6:30 start. That is good for writing, right? It's those fucking 8 p.m. Natty starts. I guess it'll be a 7:30 local game, the Natty, which means you're writing until... you know what I did this year, by the way? Normally, and you know this, I'm like, first flight out. I didn't do it this year.
I did it this year. And I thought about changing it because I was like, maybe I give myself more time. But I was a little bit later of a flight out of Atlanta than you were, and I had to sit in that mess. No.
Oh, that was a disaster. No. Miami is also one of the worst airports in the world. You do the Natty, and we're sort of bridging our way into random shit. We'll talk Natty next week. But you cover it, right? So it's 7:30 game. It's a 3:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11. We get back to the hotel 12:30. I don't know how far anything is. And then you're wired. We've done pods after the Natty. Maybe we'll do one this year. Who the fuck knows?
We will.
We've done it. We've done everything. Like, it's weird.
On average, I go to bed at like 3 a.m.
Because last year that was the case.
The first year when we were in New Orleans, I didn't go to bed till 4 a.m. That one was really late. There have been a few that I've been done earlier, but I think the one in LA was nice because that was obviously earlier local time. But yeah, I have my flights at like 7 something a.m. So there's a lot of thought to maybe not sleeping and just going to the airport. Because also, if you know anything about traveling after the national championship, the airport's a zoo. So that's
terrible.
Why I also just don't want to be there. Like, I want to get out. Get me out as fast as possible. And then I will sleep for like 12 hours when I get home.
I am so looking forward to this. Miami will be good. And then Vegas next year is going to be, yes. Yes.
That's easy travel for me, thank God. I love a good easy travel, quick travel.
Yeah. So, all right, let's random shit this thing. So, yeah,
I've been so sick.
Yeah, when I get sick, I sound horrific for like weeks. You sound, and I talked to you during like the intermission of your sickness. And I was like,
yeah,
wow,
where I was like, oh, I'm
sound good.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's a 24-hour thing, no big deal. And then, well, poof, just again, taken out. Like I said, I went to the Niner game on Saturday, and like late Saturday night, before I was going to bed, I kind of like, you know, when you get a fever and you like fever dream, like you're like not, you could tell you're not feeling right. I was like kind of delirious. And then I woke up the next morning and I literally could not move my body. I've never had body aches so bad in my life. My hands hurt. My jaw hurt. I was like, what is going on?
You're talking about one of my favorite games, though. Is it a hangover or is it COVID? I am a frequent player of this.
I genuinely was like, standing at the Niner game kicked my ass this bad. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, my body's just sore, blah, blah. No, this was so bad. And then I ended up breaking my fever later in the day when I was napping on Monday morning. Or was that? No, Sunday. And then Monday morning I woke up and I was like, oh, okay, I feel fine. A little tired still, but feel better. No, buddy, we talked and like literally probably by noon on Monday, I couldn't breathe out of my nose. And I was like, what's going on? And my cough has like been here or there. It's not really that bad. I knock on wood because I've been very fortunate, but the congestion the last 2 days and then just being tired randomly really got me. So I have been down for count. This is the first day that I've been like able to like sit up and not just lay in my bed all day. Yeah, and I don't also do well with, like, trying to rest in things when, like, things need to be getting done.
I suck at that, too.
So I'm happy that to report I am on the mend. But also I thought I avoided, I jinxed myself. I thought I avoided it because all my friends who have kids all got sicknesses this holiday season. And I was like, oh, wow, I've really avoided it. And then, boom, it's got me.
I am sick every time around this year. To no fail. I've not been sick yet. We did do the indoor water park. Of the 10 families we went with, I believe 3 or 4 have gotten very sick since we are not one of them yet.
Yeah. You're like, but thank God.
Stay tuned.
Also, fun fact, we leave for Miami on your birthday or the day after? The
day after my birthday.
Because you're the 15th?
I'm the 15th. Wow. Okay,
my father-in-law is the
17th. Yes.
I'm a big birthday person. I remember like the dates.
Very impressive. Yeah, it's a little weird. I'll be 29. The good way to celebrate.
Crazy.
Yeah, 29 years old.
That's so nuts.
Yeah, I know, right? It's
the big 29.
Getting old. We got past this weekend. We are going out. I don't know where. Bears, we're gonna go out Saturday night with neighbors, friends. Neighbor Jason will be there. But the Bears play Saturday night, and it's a big fucking deal around these parts.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I'm a vibe guy. I don't need a crowded Bears bar. I'm not a Bears fan. I am Go Bears, by the way. All good. But so we're trying to figure out where we want to go. I'm excited. NFL playoff. How about fucking John Harbaugh getting fired? I mean,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, there's very few firings because the NFL is just such a meat grinder of a world. And I get why. But still seeing that, 18 years, and he's going to get a job. If Giants, you would be very foolish not to do this and pay him all that money. I wonder if there are odds on where he will go. Hold on. Oh, next coach. Oh, we'll do this. New York Giants, next coach, John Harbaugh, -250. So, yeah. What else? What else? How do you feel about your 49ers, by the way, this weekend?
Okay, before we get into that, I do want to say to Tyler Loop, who is a Arizona Wildcat.
Oh, buddy.
If you are sending that man and his lovely fiance horrible messages.
Oh, yeah. People are fucking.
Things are coming for you. All right? So, don't be doing that.
You know what? Also, John Harbaugh, who I just said is great. Why are we taking a knee there? What are we doing? We're not helping a rookie kicker in the biggest moment of his life. I will say that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, coaches lost their fucking mind this weekend.
Yeah. 49ers. Watching that in person, not fun. Two, like, to even be at this point in the season and be in the position we are with everything that all the injuries that we have endured is impressive. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was like, oh, this is a wash very early in this season. Don't love having to play the Eagles, but offensively it was a very weird game to watch. Like, obviously the Seahawks played well, but
they're good,
and it wasn't all on our defense. We obviously couldn't stop a run to save our lives, but it was definitely the offense that I was like, what's out of rhythm here? What's not working? Also, that interception I don't actually even know what it was ruled. It was definitely an interception.
Yeah, I was
batted off of him.
Yeah.
That was like, I have never heard the air go out of, like, it was just.
yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, I was like, and yes. Also, I noticed it before the people behind me noticed what happened. And it was like the 0.5 second delay of like me knowing and then them knowing. And I was like, it is just a sickening feeling.
It was a weird play too. Like, really, really bizarre play.
Well, because he was going back. It
looked like a Madden glitch or something.
Yeah,
like,
that was brutal.
Yeah, 4.5 plus 4.5. That feels a little high for me. Like, I kind of like you guys at that number.
Yeah, I mean, if our offense like finds something, I really just don't even know what was happening.
Yeah, but the week before, you're fucking absolutely.
I know
it was a Picasso.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I just, yeah. I also like, I am just such bad vibes because obviously.
Yeah, you're down bad a little bit fandom wise. Unlike, yeah. Unlike me.
Well, I mean, playing at the Eagles, knowing that we were like a win away from the Super Bowl and like an injury that just really caused us to not be there felt hard. Not that I have any faith in us in a Super Bowl because it was so funny. Actually, this is a great like segue. You were talking about fandom. A lot of Raider fans that, including my husband, are around me and whatever. And my friend's husband said to her, like, would it be bad if we like bandwagon the Niners now? Because like being a Niners fan is so much better than being a Raider fan. And I was like, is it though? Because like, I've watched us lose 3 Super Bowls. Like in my lifetime, I've watched us lose 3 times. Cool, it's fun to get there, but like, I'm sorry, it doesn't count for anything. And like in the words of Billy Bean, like nobody gives a shit unless you win the last game of the season.
Well, so, counterpoint.
Yeah, being a Raider fan is terrible. I understand.
Well, no, we're a Jets fan. Fuck, dude.
There's no joy at all. Like you just experience pain every week.
I mean, Dante Moore. Like may decide to forego getting a next NFL contract because the Jets are that disgusting. Like that is it's fascinating.
To me. Like, do we, to be fair, this is something the NFL should act and college football need to collectively get together on because like, there's your problem right there. You have a booming business in one and people that just don't want to go play for these shit ass franchises, like figure it out. Let's start relegating teams. Let's start relegating.
They tanked. They did what they were supposed to, but like, probably the most disgusting, like, truly the most disgusting stretch of play in any stretch of fandom of my life. Like, yeah. That's Jets. I have seen some shit, buddy, and this is like you understood the assignment of tanking, but oh my god, like Mitch fucking Trubisky just. Josh Allen-ing you? Like, god damn it. It will be fun. The draft season is fun. So I'm kind of over it now because it's like, ooh, fun. What are we going to do?
Draft season drives me bananas.
Well, I do.
Well, again, that's because I'm also
I thrive.
I probably care more if it impacted my team more.
No, like, this is our season. It's right now. This is where you two first round picks. Let's do this.
I'm in a group chat with my brother, my husband, and my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law and husband are obviously Raider fans. My brother's a Packer fan. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the show, but just terrible. He's totally bought in on Fernando Mendoza. And it's so funny because, like,
they're
sending memes with the Fernando song by ABBA. They're, saying that he's, like, watching all the Indiana games being like, I Googled Kirk Cignetti and he just wins, like, dropping the jokes. Oh, so, yeah. That is always fun for me when that's the case.
My other random shit, last night we started 9U travel baseball practice. I am the head coach of the travel team. I'll say this. Last year, 8U, first year of travel. You probably shouldn't have a travel team at 8U, by the way. It was awful. That first practice was awful. The kids in a year, like, I don't want to say they grew up. They're still... We are great at, like, grab ass. We are grab ass champions. That's what I like to say. We are, if grab ass was the kids, just they're professionals, right? But, like, in a year, I was very impressed with the state of our 9-year-old baseball team. Now, again, I am so tired. I threw, like, 200 plus pitches of BP.
Oh,
right?
Buddy.
I love it. I'm a sicko when it comes to this.
Don't hurt yourself before we get on a plane.
No, but, like, this is weird. I will, like, hurt my back sneezing, but I could successfully throw 200 pitches of BP. So we had fun. It was good. Actually, baseball being back where I'm at, it's still very dark outside. It's cold, although not as cold as it could be. It's almost 15 degrees here today. It was good. It was good to get back on and doing stuff. Winter sports here in our house. We have 3 basketball games on Saturday. Hits like a ton of bricks, right? So I don't think I have any other shit. I'm happy you're feeling better.
Thank you. I was holding a cough for a minute there.
Good timing. Perfect timing. Oh, there you go. And then we have football. Like, I yes, the Thursday, Friday is a little bit awkward and clumsy, but part of me loves it because it, I've been looking forward to it all week long. Like, it's breaking up the monotony of a week back hitting like a fucking piano, which it is. So, anything else?
It's going to be good. Yes. I'm excited.
All right. Well, with that, enjoy the games. We will have our national championship preview next week. Can't wait. Paige, I'm Adam. Go on.